Following programming is sponsored by Synergy Pharmacy. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Pro to Pro Hour with Marla Vittorello.
Hello.
We've got a great show. Val Petticone is our guest. How are you, Val?
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic. We normally start out, because this is Val's first time on the Pro to Pro Hour, she's going to sing a national anthem for us.
Did you warn her what we're all about?
Yeah.
I mean, first time, Val?
We got you.
Oh, boy.
You see Tyler in the booth there? He's actually a security guard. The door's locked. There's no getting out.
Well, she's still smiling, so we're good. She's
good.
Beautiful.
She's been on for two minutes, and she's still smiling.
Yeah, it's good. You're in a good spot.
So, lots to talk about. We're going to talk Philly sports culture here. Marla Vittorello, former Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader, is no stranger to that conversation. And so one of us was in the Pro Bowl. Was it me?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't even let me buy tickets to the Pro Bowl.
Those were the good old days, Joe.
It's funny. Because the Pro Bowl these days is a touch football game.
I know. Well, I think it's kind of smart though, right? Because at the end of the day, the Pro Bowl is about just, it's like the glory game.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I don't know. And Val, by her, a top lawyer in the city of Philadelphia, her request, and we're going to introduce her law firm and all that. But she wants to talk sports. She wants to talk sports. So
I love that.
This is
women
a great,
in sports.
But
I
love it. Yeah.
But listen.
I'm a sports girl.
I'm not sure you guys remember this or not, because you're a little younger than me. I think I was a senior in high school when you were both in grade school. I'm 79 years old, for crying out.
We didn't ask how old you feel.
Did you guys?
Okay.
No.
I mean, you just
or how I look. But let me just say this. Do you remember, my brother actually called me, and we were talking the other day, and he was talking about when we were real young, the NFL used to play a game at the end of the year where the Super Bowl champions would play the college all-stars. Okay?
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Oh, no. You got to look it up. I remember the game. And guess what?
They
the
won.
Super Bowl champions, he was telling me, he was the, oh, yeah, no, Walter Payton. My brother had to, on YouTube, where Walter Payton was playing, running all over the Super Bowl champions. I can't even imagine that, but I remember that the college all-stars used to give the NFL Super Bowl champions a good game. Now, let me just comment on the Pro Bowl thing for a second, because in the NFL, the players are so big and fast these days, And the money's so massive.
Yeah.
You're putting careers on the line.
Yeah,
totally, definitely.
It's a smart thing not playing that Pro Bowl. And as we're going to talk some basketball.
I mean, J-Lo even has insurance on her rear end.
Really?
So it just shows you, literally protecting your assets.
Swift insures her legs. That's one of her biggest assets.
Yeah, her butt and legs, right?
Taylor Swift for her long
Taylor
legs.
Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can see that. So if anything happens, that's like their career. So it should be the same thing in sports, right?
Well they did have a player a couple years ago who both his knees got taken out, not even in the game. They had a touch game ahead of time. So and it was in some kind of sand. They were playing in the sand. But I do agree with that. And then you look, we're going to talk sports, but we're talking all-stars. Then you look at the NBA All-Star game. It used to be incredibly competitive. Now, God, it's like LeBron picks one team, one of the other guys picks the other team. It's like they're playing in their backyard. It's a lot of fun, but they only really play for the last 5 minutes.
Right. No, exactly. It's, and
watered down.
No, the big four is about the company, the multi-million dollar or billion dollar franchise. It's more about the whole entertainment. And yes, these players are completely, above and beyond a regular basketball player, but you made a comment about college players versus the Super Bowl players. Marginally, there's not much difference in terms of how they train and how they're in shape, because a lot of those guys were on their college team last year that made it to the Super Bowl. you know, so you're not talking too much different.
I agree with you, but you put an all-star team together, right? It's just college kids, and if you look at it like this, you never really know. You know, we get these high draft picks that never pan out. Mm-hmm. So you got college kids that never played before, and they were pairing them. And I remember, you Google it when you get a chance, but the college all-stars versus Super Bowl champions. And when I think back on it, I think about how insane that is, because you got college kids who are trying to get in the pros. They could get hurt.
Yeah.
You got Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who
well,
really
you're comparing the best of the best in both leagues, right? So you're collegiate and then you're talking about pro. So they're going to be very similar. That would actually be a pretty good matchup, I think. So who won the game?
Well, there was a lot of them, but my brother.
Well, the first one that you were saying, like, was it?
I imagine my brother, and this was just like 2 days ago. We were talking.
Where's your brother? Get him on the phone. We gotta talk to him and find out. But yeah, I would think. I'll tell you about that.
My brother's doing his yoga right now, and I can't get if his house is burning down around him in the morning. I give him a call. There was almost no emergency. I could get him on and have to kick his door.
He does martial arts.
He used to do it. He did Gracie Jiu-Jitsu and would train in Philly. He actually went to Brazil and he fought in that, and he said he loved it to death. But he beat his body up so bad. He actually had a hip replacement and all those things.
Wow.
So, but he does yoga because he said doing business with me, I'm so intense. He said he needed to meditate.
It's very good. I just started yoga myself.
Really?
Just a shout out to Maha Yoga.
Really?
Yes. Very nice. How do you do hot yoga?
It's not hot yoga.
No?
But it's a great studio, 20th and Samson.
Really?
Yeah.
I do a something called, it's hot, what's it called, Marla?
Bikram.
Hot works.
Yeah. So let me tell you what I do. And it might not be me. It might be Marla that does it. I don't know.
Oh my God. Did you ever try Hot Works? Do you know what he's talking
about? I know Hot Works. I've never tried it.
So Hot Works is different than hot yoga. It's actual cardio equipment inside saunas.
Jesus.
So you work out at 130 degrees, but you're not just doing yoga and stretching and all that kind of stuff. You're literally on an elliptical or a rower for 15 minutes in 130 degrees.
So it mustn't be me because I'm sitting right here. It must be Mark.
Listen, I hydrate and I've been working out for so long. I come out of there, I'm all like shungad. I'm like, ooh, I'm like a little lightheaded, you know, because you really have to super hydrate.
We did a show yesterday and we were talking about that. And as funny, I'm not getting into the lawyer thing, but we were talking about the liability, because you got to sign a waiver, okay?
Yeah. Yes.
And my point is, you know, I'm wondering if that waiver would work because you get somebody in there, you know, like me, and I might not come out. Joe's been in there for 3 hours, man.
You'd be like, yeah, you need the red button.
Right.
So tell us about, do you work out normally and just kind of shifted to yoga, or is that something
I'm like a really big runner.
Oh, nice.
So I ran 2 New York marathons.
Oh, God.
And a bunch of half marathons and
God
races.
Bless you.
So as I'm, you know, aging, still doing a little bit of running, more walking, but I thought yoga would be a nice way to, you know, balance my exercise.
Well, you look super young, by the way. So you must just not even just turn 25.
If I still had that club, you'd be getting carded. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Guys, so I have to paint the picture. Valerie Petticone is absolutely gorgeous. She literally looks like she's 25. She's in great shape. She's smart. You're like the woman bomb. You're like the boss.
Thank you.
So,
you're beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. But the running's got to be so
hard. Guys, I'm over here.
Oh, yeah. Joe, you look good too today. We like you with your button up polo. Looking very minty green today.
I gotta pick up my keys.
Oh, don't be showing us the back end over there. But so running, I absolutely suck at running. I'm just like, I can sprint, but I can't like run long distance. I just can't. But there was a short time period where I was able to kind of do that a couple miles. And I could see that how people get the runner's high. Because then the next day I wanted to do it again and again. But once you break it, it's hard to get back into it.
Well, I believe it or not, so when this is hard for both of you, I know you know this, and she teases, but when I was in my band, we used to do photo shoots all the time. I'd be running 5, 6, 7 miles a day. Now, I weighed 180 pounds, right? But I was into that. So I was iron working every day, so I'm hardly ever eating.
How you stayed in shape.
And then I go to Frankfurt. So we lived in Frankfurt at the time, across from Frankfurt High School. Frankfurt High School has it's the only track like it. It's a one-third of a mile instead of a quarter of a mile track, But I used to have to jump over the 6, 7, 8 foot, you know, like fence to get in there to do it. And I couldn't do it at it. So, I mean, it's a different, you know, I mean, obviously it's a different type of workout, but I got into it heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a definite, how often do you run, Val?
I was running like maybe every day at one point, but now I'm just doing it maybe twice a week.
Oh, so you're still actively running.
I'm still actively running, but it's a catch 22 because you get the runner's high, but at the same time, you know, it's a lot on the body.
It is, yeah.
Really is. Absolutely. And I'm trying to preserve my knees and my hips as I get older and time goes on. So I've kind of cut back.
Well, you feel it the next day too.
Definitely.
I notice like if I do like a heavy workout and then the next day I wake up, like my joints hurt.
What's your choice of workout? What's your
I do the HIIT training. So right now I'm doing the hot work. So I'm doing the ellipticals and the rowers, and then I just go and lift weights. I find that as I'm aging as well, and I think, you know, generally speaking for everyone, how important that the weight training aspect
very
is.
Very important. I do that,
you know,
as well.
For muscle and bone growth and keeping your joints in shape. So that atrophy is how people wind up getting hurt, you know, a lot of times. So, you know, it is. It's hard. It's hard to balance because you're a busy woman. Tell us a little bit about like your life, like your day to day. You're an attorney.
I'm an attorney.
How do you fit all this in?
It's hard. That's why I think incorporating exercise is so important for all of us that live very busy professional lives.
Yes.
That's the way you stay grounded.
Well, my wife actually, and it's a miracle really that it's actually still happened to this day because it started a month ago. I've been kind of waiting for us. Okay, we're both stress eaters, and you know, like when you're kind of a stress eater, you're stress eating. Number one, you're social, and you're, you know, watching the game. You got pretzels, whatever. And then if something goes, you know, you're something goes good, you're celebrating. So she said, I guess about a month ago, we were sitting there, and she said, you know what? And man, she goes, we've tried keto a couple of times. We're doing this is not a joke. The carnivore diet, we started off and we're still doing it. Now, I've cheated 2 or 3 times.
And he's telling the truth because I had french fries yesterday. It was yesterday, 2 days ago, right in front of him. And I said, I hate to even offer you one if you're doing so good. He was fine.
I was fine. But I'm also on Mounjaro, okay, which helps me. What the thing about Mounjaro is, what's interesting,
that like an Ozempic?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were on that.
Oh, yeah. I have type 2 diabetes, but I'm managing my, like, in other words, my A1C is I guess 6.6 or something. So the doctor said, Joe, you could get rid of this if you just started working out again and doing all those things. And so I've been on the Mounjaro for a long time.
How much have you lost since you started?
Well, about 10 since I started this, but the Mounjaro doesn't help losing weight if you're still going to eat.
Oh, yeah.
I went up to 12.5. That's the dose when I started the carnivore. So it allowed, and what it does, and this is interesting, not just, so I would say that the challenges that I fight are not much different. And I don't mean any disrespect under any situation. No, so I'm not trying to compare, but to an addiction to something.
Oh, yeah.
So
food addiction. Food is absolutely an addiction.
So a sugar addiction. Mm-hmm. So I actually believe, we started this and I've been able to, I've a box of donuts in my car right now that my one client that gives me every month that I don't want, right? But, you know, anyway, they're sitting there. And the point I'm making is so that voice in my head that says grab something is much smarter. Now, one, you got to go up different doses. There are some side effects, but nothing that I couldn't handle. The reason I brought up the addiction thing is I believe that insurance coverage is a big deal with this, but I believe that the food addiction, Mounjaro does a great job maintaining my diabetes, okay? But it also, my type 2 diabetes. But it also helps with that voice in your head. I believe, and I've heard this, and this is where I kind of compared it, was it eventually would be something that will help people with addiction in general because it stops that voice in your head.
Well, it's the cravings. And
the cravings.
The way those medications work, it's like kind of slows down your metabolic processes. So you feel full longer, you crave
sooner,
less. You feel sooner. So all those messages that are interfering from your brain to your gut, it kind of intervenes with.
Otherwise, I don't think I would be. Now, look.
They don't seem very safe, though. Are they?
Well,
I'd be concerned about the side effects. I know a few people.
No question. But you got to think about it. If you're somewhat desperate in regards to you're going to die of a heart attack and things. You're 60 years old. You're weighing it right there.
But you are a prime candidate because you're borderline diabetic. You are diabetic.
You have weight to lose, right?
And you have uncontrollable cravings and things like that. So short-term use for a drug like that is fine. The issue is the long-term clinical studies just don't exist, even though they say, I haven't seen the studies, so I don't want to say one way or the other. But the side effects that people are getting, just the hair loss and, you know, pancreatitis and all types of GI dysfunction.
There is GI
constipation.
Issues.
Yeah.
Constipation.
Constipation, because it's slowing down your metabolic process. So when that happens, your body reabsorbs water from the stool. You become, you know, very constipated. So then you have to make sure you up your fiber. And a lot of people don't do that. And it's, you know, I have a couple friends who actually got the sleeves, the gastric sleeves, and you know, they're all back up on their weight, but now they're having GI issues because they're not built for that anymore, mm-hmm. you know? So they have reflux and gastritis and esophagitis.
Yeah, no question. And I've said to my wife, you know, so I've said, listen, and, you know, you're talking to somebody who literally my whole life, I was a physical athlete and you know, training constantly, you know, and not when I stopped playing sports after I got out, it was all music. And so, and I was an animal.
Well, I was just going to say that. So lifestyle is huge. So you were a musician. He was out late because when you're out late and your sleep cycles are off, everything is off.
Well, the nightclub is what really screwed me up there.
That is like the same thing with nurses. When I did night shift, I was all over the place. Like I was craving stuff like midday, you know, the day before, because it was kind of like a late night snack because I was eating at night.
But also, you know, being married, when my wife said this a couple of weeks ago, right? And you know, we had some issues, and you know, so what really took me to the absolute next level was when my father went through his situation, and when he did, I was, you know, it was so bad, it was unimaginable, and so I literally treated myself like crap, and so I escaped through my work. I love the work, and so I'm 24/7 there, but I was giving myself nothing. But what my wife said was, we've tried things, you know, with diets, but when she said she was willing to go, and I knew she meant it, because there's no way, and I mean no chance. And she's sitting there with a box, with a bag of pretzels. I'm having some. So if we're not doing it together. I learned a little bit because we've done shows on addiction, with our labor show and a lot of different things. So I remember one day when I was wondering about, Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, it dawned on me. One of the great things about it is it replaces one community with another. So if you're hanging with your drinking buddies every day, mm-hmm. that's what you're going to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
There's a support system there and birds of a feather. Having that community and individuals that, you know, are in the struggle.
It's a peer pressure. I used to teach nursing, nursing school for Jefferson, and I taught in an LPN school. And my counterpart, she was from Penn, and she was very heavy. She was like 250 pounds. And I had just left the Eagles. This was like 2003. I was in great shape, and I always eat salads and this, that, and the other. And every day, I fell into her habits because she's like, oh, I want to go to Arby's. Oh, you could get a salad in Arby's. So I would sit down at Arby's, and I'm like eating a salad, and then she's eating like a roast beef sandwich with fries. So like, I'm like, oh, you know what? I could probably get one. And then I started to eat a little bit like her, and I gained 10 pounds. Hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is how it happens. It's surrounding yourself.
Definitely.
And then she would kind of like almost food shame me, like, oh, what? You're going to have another salad? Like, it was almost like peer pressure.
That's
and I'm like, oh my God. So when I realized that happened, I switched it around. I'm like, I don't care, whatever she does. And it's the same thing. It's like, be your own person, whether it's like you drink or you don't drink. You smoke weed, you don't smoke weed, you eat right or you don't eat
it's
right.
It's a lifestyle choice.
It's a lifestyle choice. And that's the whole thing. It's the lifestyle
choice. You
said something a little while ago about keeping yourself, fit and doing all those things to lead your professional life. So I have my own business, okay? And in other words, our production company. Now, my brother does the back end. We do, and I do the radio production and all those things. We do a lot of different types of broadcasts. But there is one thing that is, you know, undeniable. Without me, the shows can't get done. And if I'm not healthy, okay?
Yeah.
Like last night, We did the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction of Jerry Lee Hockey. It's a labor thing, okay? And guess what? If I'm sick, because I do the broadcast and I do the thing, I do the presentation and the ceremony, man, that's a life event, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is something that I have to be conscious about. And at 60 years old, okay, and you know, it's scary to say 60, you know, like, I mean, in other words, but you know, we all have this basically the same thing. If you're not working, you're not getting paid.
Exactly.
I mean, and so, and by the way, if you have a trial, okay, you have a big a sales meeting or have a team around, or even your radio show, the fact of the matter is it doesn't get done. When I was working Ironwork, okay, if I didn't come in,
if you weren't feeling,
they probably had more production that day.
But I think it boils down to what Val said. You know, it has to be a lifestyle. It's a quality of life issue, and whether it's at work or even just to like go bowling with your family or to like spend that time and not be half asleep on the couch at 7:30, 8 o'clock, because when you eat bad, you feel bad, and that's
the bottom line,
right? And so the old saying, "You are what you eat," really is huge. Now, one thing that's
so true,
right?
Definitely.
So. And food is an addiction. Exactly what you said. You know, sugar is like, I think it's 100 times more powerful addiction than cocaine.
Really?
It is more addictive than cocaine. So I'm on right now, just so you know, I'm on, not on cocaine. I'm on sugar right now. I've been on sugar. I have been on sugar for like the last couple weeks.
What type of sugar?
Like, no big deal, like chocolate-covered almonds here or there. I eat, like, a dairy-free ice cream. Like, it's not like...
If you guys went out to my car right now, you would laugh because there's a box in there with three donuts, right?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, yeah, okay, Joe. You know, like...
But see, that doesn't bother me. Like, I could walk past the whole thing and don't... Like, that kind of stuff. But there's certain key things. Like, chocolate-covered almonds are my biggest. I love, like, frozen yogurt or ice cream or gelato. And that's like my thing.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Well, I'll tell you, as like an attorney, busy, socializing, networking, going to a lot of functions, alcohol, which has no sugar, wine, you would think, you know, a glass of wine, a couple glasses a night, you keep doing that, you go out a few nights a week, not good. A lot of sugar, so I'm more conscious.
Well, my wife,
with the drinking.
Yeah. My wife has, you know, she has psoriatic arthritis, and so she's like a glass of wine, right? And you know, also the way it hits her liver right now, right? And so, can't do it anymore. Or at least, you know, we'll go out. Maybe I don't know if it's whatever to a function or something like that. And as you get older, no matter how beautiful you ladies are. You know, like and appear at your ages of 35 and 30 years old, you know, you can't deny sometimes those things, and you have to acknowledge them eventually because you guys are massive producers. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys professionally, and me, I have a responsibility to be here. Well, you're a sole proprietor, okay? It's not even like the nightclub. You know, if I didn't make it in, okay, they'll live. But as you get older and you start to do these things, well, man, it's a big deal.
Right. You want to be present in your life, whether it's professionally and, you know, what we do for yourself as a lawyer, for me. Like, I want to be present when I'm in my moments, whether they're with business clients or my family. And I do know for a fact when I eat like crap, I feel like crap.
Absolutely.
And it also opens up the can of worms about processed food and all the crap that's put in our foods.
Yeah.
So So that's another key thing too. Like people eat, when they say they diet, right? So they're looking for like diet soda and diet this. There's so many chemicals like artificial sugars and all that kind of stuff. So you almost have to detoxify yourself and purge all of that crap out of your system.
Absolutely.
No question. You know,
I was just going to add to that in making the choices. I joined this thing. It's the Yuka app.
And actually, I have that.
In the supermarkets when I go.
Yeah.
This is how conscious I am of what I eat. So everything you're saying, I agree with because you are what you eat.
Absolutely.
I constantly scan it and you'd be surprised. You would think, even as a runner, like some of these chewy bars in the past that I would eat, I thought, it's going to give me energy.
Right.
So bad.
Val, can you text me that when you get a chance?
Yeah, the Yuka app, and there's another one.
It's right here, and I'll tell you.
How do you spell Yuka, by the way?
Y-U-K-A. But there's also, did you see the Bobby Approved one?
No, I did not.
So it's called Bobby Approved. That's another one besides you. I have both of them.
I got to check that one out.
Well, this guy's like a little crazy. So like Yuka is more loose with, you know, you can have this, you can't have that. And sometimes it's like he wards off everything. He's like, no, you can't have that. But when you look at the reason why you can't, he'll say there's too much salt in it or too much sugar. It's not the end of the world. Where I have the problem is the artificial preservatives, the coloring, high fructose corn syrup, all of those things I just try to keep away and keep the kids away. But don't we find this funny that when you go into the supermarket, organic food costs twice as much or, you know, 1.5 times as the regular food. Because what's missing out of organic products are those chemicals. So why is it cheaper to get the foods that have additives when you leave the food alone and have it just produced organically, it costs more money? Well, it all boils down to the temperature of what's going on. You know, it's like, why are these foods banned in other countries, but in
that's
the United States.
Oh, yeah, they just said that.
We're okay. And it's all about pharmaceutical marketing.
Yeah,
I agree. It's all about money.
It is. It's about money.
Big business, big corporations.
There's treatments absolutely out there that are curative for cancer, for diabetes, for all those things. They're out there. They're in an envelope somewhere.
Okay? I totally agree.
And people have it. And I think we're getting closer to the point now where people are unleashing that because there's going to be a lot of changes coming up.
And that's, did you say you?
Y-U-K-A, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
UK.
Okay. So it's a great
and just to say this, like I'm like proof of this. So I you know, I exercise, but in using that app, I had a little bit of like cholesterol. You know, even though I like to think I'm a little bit lean. I started that. I didn't even need medication. It went down 68 points.
Wow.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
So, yeah, because you have to watch everything, but it's very helpful because they're putting so much
crap in it. So you know what's weird? You can actually reverse lookup too. Like you can do skin products.
My wife
products.
Has already found the app and she's downloaded it as we speak.
Good. It's a great tool.
Yeah, you can do skin.
Yeah, and you could do skin products. I mean, even down to toothpaste. And it's hard because you don't want to get crazy.
I know.
Because I find my son's like walking around like, you know, mom, this has like seed oil in it. I'm like, oh my God, Santino, eat the damn thing. You know?
Yeah, I know. You could get a little crazy, but it is a good guide and it can help you make better choices.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm gonna give you a real big league segue here, okay? You know, kids these days they have so many things to do, okay? And you're talking, we don't even have a little league team in my neighborhood anymore, which is amazing because the neighborhood hasn't gotten any smaller. But it used to be a real, like, you know, it was like South Philly when you were growing up and saying, you know, there's so many kids going, just a real tight knit community, okay? Mm-hmm. But so people, they would sit there and talk about how, and we still do, about how kids don't play sports as much anymore. Guess what? That might be true, but damn, the kids that are playing are damn good. And there's so many different training, like in baseball.
Yeah.
Growing up, you could count on one hand how many guys threw 100 miles an hour. Now, every team has guys in the minor leagues throwing 100 plus, right? It's that, well, the training, you're talking about the diet right now, right? The diets that we're talking about, like we didn't have them, you know, growing up, okay? In other words, we didn't talk about them and there was like nourish. As I got older, I would hear about it, but fact of the matter is that the things that you're talking about, apps and all those things, where you could talk about nutrition and all those things, the athletes are doing those things now, and now you have, there may be less young people playing, but those young people that are playing, and there's still plenty, but the fact is that that's why we're talking, the athletes of today. I was just wondering, how do you get, we had three guys, Alvarado, Soto, and at least one more, Sir Anthony Dominguez. Each one threw 100 miles an hour. Neither one of them could find the plate, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We had the only three guys that literally couldn't get out of a damn inning, right? Each one. Mm-hmm. But if they were around 25 years ago, it would be Nolan Ryan, J.R. Richards, and them three, right? Mm-hmm. My point is, whatever these guys are doing, whatever these kids are doing these days, nutrition and all those things and the training.
It's the research. Science. It's the data. It's finally unleashing some of the stuff that we've been talking about, the food products, the supplements. Nobody took creatine when we were young. And now they're finding all these benefits, even for aging women who are active, that creatine is really what keeps your muscle moving besides amino acids. So like every day in my water, I have creatine and I have branched chain amino acids because I'm active and it keeps me hydrated. And
Well, back in the day, anybody remember this commercial? Taste the cake, the good things in life, milk, butter, and eggs,
oh
right?
Oh my God, yeah.
That was, do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was like,
so we just had this conversation.
Go get yourself some crimpets, Jen.
Yeah, I mean, we just had this conversation. The 70s and 80s and into the 90s, of course, were the dirtiest times in food, right? And that's when we grew up. So I remember having like cold cuts or lunch meat sandwich, you know, like pepperoni and cheese, and then a bag of Doritos. I had an apple, of course. Chocolate cake. My mom, you know, it was just like, oh, she wants something sweet, so she put that in there. So, like, we were brought up on crap, okay?
Chef Boyardee.
Yes, but my mom, we did Whole Foods, too. My mom always, you know, she had a big Italian meal. We always had, like, 100 vegetables out. So she knew what she was doing, but the choices of what to bring to lunch and all of those things were very slim back then. They don't have what they have. Now my daughter brings like a bento box. You know, I'm like, where's the wine, Val? Like she's got, you know, she's got cheese, crackers, grapes. Like she puts prosciutto. It's hilarious. She does a little thing of yogurt.
I love it.
And it's like, wow, you know, it is changing. But they're seeing over time, Joe, the health benefits, and they are started implementing this. So now what we're seeing, these greater athletes and performance, is based off of science-based foods. You know, the foods that they studied on us and said, you know, we're never going to be able to throw 70, 80 miles an hour. But now you got these kids who are groomed with organic foods and training. They are throwing 80, 90 miles an hour.
It's funny you should mention that. If you want next show, I'll bring in some of my videos from 1981. You're going to love them, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about like the health of the athletes.
Yeah.
What is happening with Embiid?
Oh, yeah.
Like his health is like.
Whoa. What a segue.
I had a segue. So tell me
what's going on with him, because I kind of heard a couple things.
I got some thoughts. Let me hear yours, Val.
My thoughts are like, it's just so disappointing. There was such high hopes for a championship team with the big three. You know, we got Paul George, Embiid, and everything's just like falling apart.
And Maxey, right. So here's my thoughts on, yes, of course.
Is he sick? Or is he just hurt?
He's injured, but here's what I think, Val. This is what they're thinking. This is what I think.
Embiid's sluggish, I have to say that. Ever see him on the court, he's...
Yeah.
He is.
I better check him, do some cardiac testing. Because I'm telling you, those big dudes, like, and that's the other drawback. It's like, you know, we're feeding. So the hormone pumping, okay? The hormone pumping in foods and meats and all those kind of things. The athletes now are bigger than they used to be.
Well, Embiid's interesting. You're right, though. He's sluggish. When he gets in the game, he tries to go down. He goes down the lane and he lands awkwardly. He's constantly beating himself. But this is what I think happened with Embiid. They probably had a meeting in their minds, okay, and said, you know what? Or at least he did. It had to be a revelation. And he said, you know, I'm going to manage my. Now I know he got hurt, but that's not just the point. The point is he wants to manage his time, and the reason he wants to manage his time is, he's well aware of one thing. He's got all the money in the world. He also has made all the All-Stars. He's got an MVP and all that. But he knows that eventually, after it's all said and done, he's going to be judged on only one thing, a championship.
Right.
So I'm sure he said, you know what? I am not going, no matter how many games I play, doesn't matter. If we make the play, I need to be healthy for the playoffs. And he's never healthy for the playoffs.
I don't even see a playoff. I mean, 2-11.
But I'm just saying the game plan.
Yes.
Them going, you know, them saying, we're going to manage you so that we're just going to get into the playoffs and then you're going to be healthy and we're going to go. I think that was like a plan that probably wasn't a good one, but thinking, okay, let's, how do we get him from through the regular season, which no one will ever remember, to the playoffs and healthy. Now he's injured now, but you know, so that really screws up the time management situation. So I think that, you know, like that is, you know, he, at the end of the day, if they come in fourth place or seventh place, they're the last team that makes, but they win the NBA finals, that will be a badge of honor. Well, you were the team that became the last team.
Well, that would be the comeback kid story.
Right.
Right.
But that would be a situation where he would be, you know, lauded for being the last team in the playoffs and winning the NBA. So he knows it does not, to him, the regular season doesn't matter as long as they get in. Now, tell that to the season ticket holders and the fans that are going to games and he's not playing.
Were you at the opening game? Because I was there. And
I was not.
So disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got Paul George and you got Embiid and you got Maxey, right? And then you got the new... The draft pick that scored the 27 points. There's only so much.
Well,
this.
The NBA, they fined the Sixers because of false information that was out regarding his injury.
Really?
I just saw it on ESPN.com. I didn't get to read the whole article, but my assumption is maybe they're saying he was okay and he couldn't play. I don't know.
Okay. So I'm not going to date anybody, but.
You know, I hope not. You're married, right? I mean, and she's listening. So,
hello.
Hi.
Listen, ladies.
I love you.
That's why I don't want to lose weight. The pressure's just nuts.
I know.
So, but I can't believe that the last NBA championship we had was 1983. I remember it like it was yesterday, right? But, you know, my son's never seen my son has never seen the Sixers World Championship, right? And of course, AI was as much a hustler as you can possibly get. And I mean, he took us to the finals, okay. But at the end of the day, it is amazing when it does make you feel a little desperate a little bit when you think to yourself, man, we're so far away, and it's been 41 years since we've won a world championship. And so, you know, you're a big Sixers fan, Val?
Yeah, I love all sports.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing this year with the Phillies. That's another segment.
We're going to get into, we're going to spitfire right now. But so the Sixers, you know, obviously disappointing. I mean, you know, because you get all that hope, you bring Paul George in, you got, you know, on paper, you got a nice roster. Okay, Maxey's developing exactly the way you want, but you know it's a.
Jarrett McCaney's coming along.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah,
he was from Duke. He's a great player, but
yeah. So it's you would mention
the problem. I think even if you're not like a big sports buff, if you just look at the schedule of the Sixers and how many games they have, what do they play? 42 games, 48 games. I mean. That is like, it's so difficult on their bodies, you
Crazy.
Know, and the sleep and the moving around. Like, pro players, that's the thing that people, you know, often forget, and they take...
Oh, yeah.
They don't take that.
You're going across the country in a flight.
Yeah.
You're feeling
there's a
like
time zone change. There's, like, all types of stuff. You know, your nutrition might not be up to par, or your hydration, or you're flying for 8 hours.
Val, you also wanted to, you know, we're going to spitfire a little bit, but on that issue, okay, so the Sixers are playing 82 games, right? Phillies play 162, major league players. Like, you got to sit there and, you know, I mean, and, you know, those issues, like, maybe the guy didn't get a lot of sleep that night. Now, I know he's making $50 million, but guess what? At the end of the day...
They're tired.
I mean, you know, he just...
It's just simple.
Well, after they got back from London, something just...
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it reminded me a lot of this of the Eagles last year. Remember, what was we were 10-1, and I don't know if what your thoughts were last season, but everybody knew something was wrong. Like, we're 10-1, and we're barely getting by.
I'm still not over the Phillies. I'm still looking at
the Phillies. Ironically, like it. You know, we had the worst record in the playoffs after the break. You know, so, I mean, baseball's a totally different, it's a ballgame.
I knew it was over when Alonso.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, when he hit that home run.
I was like, and then we were playing the Mets. It was then I was like, wait a minute, this is not good.
Yeah,
that scared me.
Well, the Mets reminded me of the Phillies, a couple years back when Hoskins hit through the home, you know, the bat when he hit the home run, and you know, we were at that game. But one thing that confuses me, I like your thoughts on this. I saw the owner, it was the general manager, okay. Talking about letting a couple of Hoffman's letting Hoffman go and Estevez, right? I don't mind letting either one of them go. They both had, you know, they're both getting big paydays. They may not be the right guys. But we spend hundreds of millions of dollars, right, on players. But if you look at the teams that really win, it's the teams with good bullpens. Like, you know, like they got good relievers, okay? The way, you know, he talked, he's like, I don't think we're going to spend a lot of money on relievers. Man, look at the playoff teams. Like the teams that have the pitching, okay? We have some good starters. We probably could, you know, and I think we're doing well in the minors, but...
I thought we had a pretty good bullpen, though. But
we did have a great
bullpen. They weren't hitting.
We had the best bullpen in baseball before the break, like you mentioned. After that, injuries came. You know, you have... and so that 162-game season, man, my God, it's like torture. You know, it's you know, everything we're talking about. Try staying, you know, playing on AstroTurf, you know, for 140 games at the very least, if not all 162. You know, so hopefully their minor league system, you know, get some this kid Andrew Painter who got hurt 2 years ago is they're saying he's, you know, he's looking good, he's back in the fold, but you know, I mean, we, you know, and you know, you look at the playoffs and all that. Look, the Yankees fell apart in the World Series.
They really did. They really fell apart.
Well, baseball is two seasons, just like that. You know, basketball and all, but baseball more than ever.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It's the marathon and the sprint.
I guess we have to be optimistic now just for the Eagles. Well, the Flyers are looking good. They're young. They got potential. Not this year, but I think they're building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just
getting into the sports culture of our Philly teams.
Oh, yeah. And I'm out of the loop with the Flyers because there's only so much anxiety.
When does Flyers start?
Right around basketball.
Right around now. Okay.
Their seasons run together.
I don't really follow them that much.
Here we go. Ready?
No, and I feel like Sixers, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a big topic of what we're talking about today, but don't you feel like when you go to the Sixers games, I would say this past year, I feel like it's picked up a notch, but for a while, they didn't have anybody going to the games.
Well, I could tell you this. They do a great job at entertaining people. I went to a game where a couple years back when they had lost, this is before the process, but they were 0-18, 1-18 at the time, and it was a fantastic time. I had a blast because they do a good job at entertaining, even the Phillies.
But they took the cheerleaders away.
Oh, like, I didn't know that.
The Sixers dancers, yeah. Really?
So they're there, but what they've done, so a lot of girls, I mean, when you cheer in the NFL, you cheer 2 preseason and 8 home games. So a lot of the ladies would prefer doing NFL over NBA because you had to be there 42 games. Plus practices. It's like that has to be almost your full-time job. And they just don't pay enough to do that, to give up your whole career for that period of time. So they kind of switched it around where girls were just picking games and they didn't perform every game. So they would only have like 5 or 6 girls that would come out.
You mean the Sixers?
The Sixers.
Okay.
And they would just do like a little like quick, now it's just kind of thrown together. It's not even
That's upsetting,
like,
you know?
It's so sad because when I was a cheerleader growing up.
I was
going to
say, did you love being a cheerleader?
Yeah.
I mean, you were.
I was there 6 years. Yeah, it was so fun. You know, and the Sixers were like, I don't want to say the rivals because I wouldn't look at them that way because it's different. You know, it's very urban, hip-hop. It's a different crowd than what we bring
Absolutely.
To the NFL stadium. And we weren't doing like a lot of hip-hop dances and stuff like that. It just doesn't translate well in the stadium, you know? Like that's a smaller arena kind of thing to do. But, you know, we always did things with the Sixers dancers. We would do dance camps together and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I coached the Philadelphia Soul for 6 years. So we were a combo of NFL, NBA, and that's why I love the Arena League is because, you know, it was so football glam, but it was...
Well, Philadelphia.
I love it. I mean,
it was fun.
You're amazing.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
You're talking to me or Marla because I feel I really appreciate the... you're talking that.
I see you dance. You can shake your pom-poms. Woo, I see it.
That's what I'm talking about. I was going to be... You know, they listen to me when I tell you this. You know, you're a college football player or you're... a college male cheerleader. I, you know, they can say what they want about those guys, but those are the guys have, you know, like they're
yeah, we had you know, stunt the athletes with the Eagles.
Well, those guys, you know, those are gymnasts, mm-hmm. and those guys are good athletes.
They are.
But we'll get into that.
Which, by the way, just, you know, trivia question. I'm actually, it's not even, it's going to be just a fun fact. I'm actually dancing in the parade. with the Eagles cheerleaders. There's all the alumni.
Oh my God, I love when.
So it'll be on Thursday morning. So we have practices. Thanksgiving Day parade. Yeah.
So everybody has to tune in and watch beautiful Marlo.
Oh God, I hope I'm not even on camera. But there's like 75 of us. So we're all supporting the Eagles cheerleaders. Yeah.
That's a fantastic.
Yes. I mean, listen, it's their time.
So was football always your thing since you were a cheerleader?
Yeah.
More than any other sport?
Absolutely.
Well,
I cheered basketball a little bit, but not. Football's my thing.
So having said that, we've talked about in the past, you know, and about Philadelphia fan culture. It's a different perspective when you're a cheerleader looking out at the fans at the Eagles games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our fan culture in the city, Val, you and I talked about talking a little bit about that. But, you know, I would say, you know, kind of alluded to it, Mar, Eagles fans are an absolute different
breed.
No, don't get me wrong. Sixers and Flyers fans, and Phillies fans, I mean, they all cross over if you're from Philly. But the fact of the matter is
Eagles fans are a different breed.
Oh, man.
We're different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about what it's like from the field and looking out. The stuff you must see, man.
So the first thing. It was fun. So the first game I ever went to in my entire life was one I cheered at. So I walked on the field. I was like, oh, my God, these seats are going to be filled. And it was like the shock factor because it was back in the Vet days. So I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, geez, like, you know, looking all the way up to the 700 level. And I remember, like, coming out going, oh, my God, like, my heart was pounding as a rookie because the acoustics are different during practice because it's an empty stadium. So, like, you have to wait for
like
the
music.
Like
being at a rock concert.
Yeah, it's almost like a delay. Then the music kind of bounces off the walls. Then you hear it. So, you know, you got to be really careful on, like, when you choose to start the choreography.
Well, it's interesting because – It's funny. I never thought about it, but in a crowded stadium,
it absorbs the sound,
and you got to do everything uniform.
Yeah.
So you're looking that way, and you're supposed to be uniform.
So, a lot of people don't realize this. So I was a captain for 5 out of the 6 years. So if you step onto the field, like say you know the 2-minute warning goes off, or it's like the end of the quarter, if you're on the field and you're not supposed to be, the NFL fines the Philadelphia Eagles like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like if a cheerleader steps on, it's all about airtime. It's about everything. So, and there's all these like very strict rules. So when you're standing there, you know, you're supposed to be hitting the crowd, saying hello and smiling and being all, you know, cheering on. But meanwhile, I'm watching the clock. I'm watching to see what down we're on. I'm watching to see if am I supposed to be in the end zone or am I going 20?
Imagine if you're a captain and you go over that line. I mean,
you would just get your butt handed to you.
That's insane.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things. And then a lot of times we can't see over the players. So you're looking another direction. Then the music goes on. And then you got to call in a dance routine. And we had stunt. I was a captain of the stunt team. So we did stunts and dances and cheers. So my head was spinning at a game. Like, you know, and then after I got it down, I was like, okay, I got it. But there was a lot of pressure. It's not like you think.
And what you go through with, you know, I imagine with the fans, like in other words, you know.
I got hit with a hot dog bun when the Eagles were losing at the Christmas game. Like they meant to throw it out like at the, you know, not at me, but I got hit with it.
Well, I was at a game one time where a young lady, it was Reggie White night. It was at the new stadium, but we were in the end zone. We were not in the 700 level because, and so. I don't even know if there's a 700 level, obviously, in the
stadium. No, but it's up there. It's up there.
I was not up there. I was like in the 10th row in one of the end zones. And when the game started, this girl comes in, and she's bundled up, but she's got an Eagles, a pink Eagles, you know, jersey on. And she turned around and went, you know, yo, this is the beginning, right? At halftime, 35-0, we're losing. And Jeffrey Lurie came out. If it wasn't for Reggie White's family there, we're playing the Seattle Seahawks, right? The all the drunk guys in the stands turned on her, you know, like in a kind of a, like, you know, the lewd comments and all that. I'm a damn iron worker, bro. And I was offended, right? My point is, I can imagine, you know, all those things, having that pressure.
It's a lot.
And seeing guys, fist fights and crazy stuff. When we're down 30-0 or 28, you know how
one of the most challenging things, you know, was the cameras and the Fanavision, because you had to watch your body movement, because they would snap pictures. And back in the day, there was no editing. There was nothing. So, like, if you moved a certain way and your stomach was hanging over or, like, you know, you were wrinkled, like, those were all things we had to worry about. Like, if a camera came up and you were smiling and the wind blew and, like, your hair is in your face or in your teeth, like, that got net. Like, you have to be aware of all these things, because then a picture will get released that is not good. So one time, funny story, we were waiting, we were in the pregame tunnel. Just
it's amazing how what they do with the pictures
there's
today.
There's so much.
When you're
yes.
talking about that
oh,
versus
God.
Today, that's another whole.
So different. Ahead. Yeah, and that's... people will video and picture. They have it instantly. It's on social media. You're done. So we were coming out of the pregame, like, you know, getting ready to run out for the pregame. And I tripped. And I was like, still inside the tunnel, though. I was like, oh, damn it. I was like, I mean, I went flat, right? So I was like, oh, nobody saw this. Well, the crowd was roaring, laughing. Okay.
Really?
And I was like, and I got up. I was like, I'm okay. Well, they
really
were just
it.
Cracking up because
yeah.
it was like the same people. And they were clapping so loud when I came out because they saw it. You know, I splatted on the floor. And I was like, oh, they probably didn't see it. No, they all saw it. So it was like everything you do is like on camera. It's like recorded and it is, you know, it was a lot of pressure. So we had to be there 4 hours before kickoff. We were there like, you know, walking in. And then at the end, you would go and these people would find your car. So they're sitting by your car to take pictures and this and the other. So like they know, you know, where you park and all this kind of. Yeah. I mean, we had security walk us in and out. But it was unreal.
Or certain teams, like rival teams, like the Cowboys, more,
there was
like a higher,
yes.
what should I say, higher security?
Absolutely. So by halftime, we weren't allowed up in the penthouse suites because the people drinking was so out of control. So we had to come down. So we would go up there. Back in the day, we had calendars and things like that. So for us, we weren't allowed after halftime. And guess what? We had so much fun. It was such a beautiful thing. And, you know, I definitely...
What a beautiful career.
It was cool. You know, and we still...
Oh, so by the way, it's a community. We did the 50 Eagles Cheerleaders 50 anniversary. 75th broadcast here last year.
Yeah, we had 30 girls come in. And
that
you know,
must have been amazing.
It was. It was so cool. And the one thing I will say, though, like... You just never, like, we're still in touch with the director. We still get together. We do a lot of community stuff off the field. The chairwoman for the sponsorships for the NFL alumni and the cheerleader membership director. And I'm still so tight with everybody there that it's just so much fun. But funny story, I went to a game. I was sitting in the stands. I was, like, up in a suite because I, you know, one of my friends, I took Santino and they hosted us. And my stunt coach saw me.
Really?
He saw me and he was waving. Like,
oh my God.
You still have that connection.
I love it.
And he texted me. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, why aren't you down here? You know, and I'm like, oh, I just want to wait. You know, I'm with my son. I just want to have fun. And, you know, it was really cool.
Well, it's a great community. And
friends for life.
And still doing community stuff even
still,
to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the most of what we do.
I was going to say, this has been the fastest hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and there's a lot, you know, we you're right, Val. We left a lot on the table. By the way, you know,
we got to do this again.
We have to do this again.
This is almost like lunch, okay? Mm-hmm. Like where, you know, you go for lunch and you come home 3 hours, except, you know, unfortunately, Tyler has to ruin it and tell us we got to get off the air.
Yeah. He just stuck his tongue out at you.
Well, that's, you know, I can handle that. That's real quick, though. I know plugs for the law firms, you know, obviously Val, personal injury firm, obviously Spivak and Spivak, best attorney in the world, Val Petticone, if I do say so myself. Contact information for the firm if anybody needs a...
You can contact me directly, 215-280-4188. I'm here to help for...
What is the website?
www.spivakandspivak.
Awesome. Synergy Pharmacy?
SynergyScripts.com. We're a boutique pharmacy out in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, specialized in workers' compensation and auto accidents.
Fantastic. Shout out to Tyler in the producer's room.
It's a great shirt, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, Tyler's got like a really like awesome shirt. So you got to bring cameras in here.
Stand up, would you?
Oh, look man, at him.
Tyler,
wow.
Good.
He's the man. And by the way, if I don't say that, we'll be on silent quickly, right? I'll be on mute. But Listen, we to say the least, I mean, obviously.
Thank you for having me.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
You know, we talked about doing your own podcast. And, you know,
I did want to say I'm going to start a podcast with Joe. It's a goal.
Yeah, right? It's fun.
But having said that, you know, so much that we left on the table. Can't wait to get to it the next time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Pro to Pro Hour with Marta Vittorello, our special guest, Valerie Pettacone from Spivak and Spivak. On behalf of Marta and Valerie, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Helping people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.